Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runner, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by Ironman U, EverySite.com, the coolest new technology around. RunCatalina.com, Catalina Marathon coming up on Saturday, March 19th. Our Challenged Athlete Foundation, we've raised over $70 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. Our next guest from Human Movement, he's got a really cool triathlon coming up on September 10th, Mr. Jeff Suffolk from 106 West. Jeff, how are you?
Bob, good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm great.
Awesome, awesome. So in terms of this particular triathlon in Dillon, Colorado, highest elevation triathlon at 9,156 feet, how long have you been working on this event?
This is kind of a little bit of an albatross for me. We've been working on this since 2006. Ironically, I'm standing at the same spot that we did Iron Kids in 2006 in Louisville, Colorado right now. And that's when we started the conversation with the Denver Water Board and the town of Dillon and Summit County officials. And it's been a long haul, but well worth it. So about 2 years ago, they were really ready to get started with the conversation. They finally approved the process to start officially. And then we, 24 months later, we made the announcement, which you were at. Thanks again.
Well, it's amazing to me, 10 years you've been waiting. Yeah. What was it about this? Was it one of those things where you're standing there by Lake Dillon going, this is the ultimate place to do a triathlon?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. I think anyone who goes by that part of Colorado knows that it's just such a scenic venue. It's and you know, for the longest time it was untouchable. You weren't allowed to swim in it. They just allowed boats in it not too long ago. And we've kind of had a tagline around our office of just searching out proprietary events, proprietary real estate, and that's kind of that was the most proprietary we could ever find. We did a smaller triathlon just up the road, which was at the time the highest open water triathlon in the world there too, up in Silverthorne. But it was just in a tiny pond that actually we hosted a pond hockey tournament up there for a number of years. Just happened last weekend, and when it unthawed, we said this would be a good spot for a triathlon. And so we did it. We were there for a few years, just waiting for the opportunity to do it at Dillon, because we knew that you could fit a few thousand people in there and just have an amazing experience.
In Human Movement, for folks out there who aren't familiar with the company itself, you guys put on the Dirty Girl series, the Ugly Sweater Run series, beer festivals, and obviously triathlons. How many events is your company putting on every year?
Yeah, it varies, but just north of 100 typically.
100?
Yeah, it's a wild group of event maniacs. We all absolutely love what we do, and it's a pretty open platform. So we have anywhere from interns to people who have been there since we started, coming up with new concepts, and we test them, and then if they work, they turn into something bigger. So yeah, it's quite a group of people.
And when you put out something like Ugly Sweater Run or Dirty Girl, what, give me an idea of how many people you're attracting to your 100 events throughout the
yeah.
year.
There's some that are as you know, small as a few hundred, like the Rocky Mountain Triathlon, and then in random spots around the country, we'll do like a Dirty Girl mud run in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and get 10,000 women.
Oh, wow.
And then we have a beer festival in downtown Denver. It's the 47th annual this year, Denver Oktoberfest, and it draws just north of 400,000. So it's a gamut of people.
Wow.
And, yeah.
And for yourself, at your core, I think you bleed triathlon.
Right. Yeah, that's where I started.
Yeah, and what got you into it?
I did. I was doing triathlons. My first one was in 1994, not too long ago. And I was addicted to them, just like many people were early on. And I was just involved, kind of interested in the space. It was always just in my DNA to want to put on events, whether it was plays or if it was beer festivals when I was of age. That was my attraction, was to the actual event space, or we call active entertainment.
Yes.
And then I moved down to Phoenix in the summer of 2003, and immediately signed up for a race that was held down there at Tempe Town Lake, which was relatively new at the time. And it just kind of struck me as it was, you know, it was less about the entertainment. It was less about the personal accomplishment. It got me started, right? I was my first gig right out of college. I started a website and launched an event called the Soma Half Ironman. And then I got a cease and desist from Ironman, so we called the Soma Triathlon. I didn't know it was a thing.
Well, welcome to world of triathlon.
Right,
your rite of passage, getting your first lawsuit, and that eventually did become an Ironman event.
Yeah. Now it's the Ironman 70.3 or Ironman Arizona 70.3. Yeah, and that's kind of led me down that road of triathlon in general, was that a couple years later, after we had some success with those, we did a number of events, the Timex Triathlon, and then of course Soma, and then we did the Tempe Triathlon, and then eventually Graham Frazier and Ted Kennedy and his crew, Shane Facto and all those guys, were looking to put on an event down there in the desert, and so we eventually met up and I think I was about 24 at the time, and it really dawned on me that this was a real industry. You know, you knew this all along. You created this industry for us. So I was a super newbie at it, and still am. But I worked with those guys to start Ironman Arizona, and we brought some sponsors together for them, and that was kind of the launch of everything.
And not just some sponsors. We're talking Ford, which became title sponsor.
Yeah, that was
that's pretty
that
big.
That was a funny conversation. Yeah, it was. I remember we were sitting in my title sponsor's restaurant at the time, a Soma Cafe, which is no longer. And I was like, well, my dad works in the marketing department of Ford. And I was like, maybe they'd be interested in sponsoring it. You know, I had no clue. And sure enough, like, I think it was like 9 months later, they were the title sponsor of everything.
Of all of them,
which was really cool. They made a Ford Ironman Explorer, which I thought was super neat. And yeah, we're all really excited to see our two of my favorite brands come together.
What brought you to Colorado?
So after that relationship started, at the time Ironman North America and Graham and those guys were based up here in Boulder, and I'm from Michigan originally, so I kind of missed four seasons. So I saw an opportunity to get a little bit closer and work closer with Ironman, and so I moved up to that office in Boulder, and then eventually sold the other triathlons we had to what became Lifetime Fitness Events, and had a little non-compete period and kind of sat in my hands. And then we launched Human Movement in the winter of 2009.
So when you talk about those type of the mob type of races, when you're talking about the dirty girl or ugly sweater run, were you surprised at how how big these races became? Because it used to be people would look at an event and go, I'll see how it goes, and then I'll decide if I sign up the next year, year after that. Nowadays, it's if you're first to block with Color Run, Nighttime Run, Zombie Run,
right,
whatever it happens to be, people are quick adapters. They just want to do something different.
Yeah. It's so interesting, especially I can't imagine, you know, your perspective on it, Bob, because it was for me, it was unthinkable to do a running race without a timing chip.
Right.
Like there was like, what were you paying for if that was the case? Like it didn't dawn on a lot of people until after it was already taken over the world that this was more, they say the, you know, experience is the new luxury good. And it was more about the experience than it was about competition or anything like that. And so, one of my favorite stories of this, the mob races was the winter of 2011. And, two of my best friends, Dan Hill and Tanner Bell, who started the Ragnar Relay, Dan called me and said, I have something that's really interesting. You should come to Utah. and we'll talk about it. And I met this strapping young man named Travis Snyder, and he said, I have an idea. We're going to run 5Ks without timing, and we're going to throw color on them. I was like, that might be the dumbest idea I've ever heard of, Travis. Well, yeah, I'm just kidding. It was, and of course, it's not the largest running series in the world.
Isn't that funny?
It's amazing. And it was, and he saw something that no one else had seen, that this was, you know, it was more about the experience, and that kind of set the world on fire with these just participatory events that, you know, there was no medals, there's no age group winners or anything like that. So, but it's all cyclical. You know, we believe that that's why we're in triathlon and we're in marathon, we're rooted in performance, because it all comes back. You know, people will graduate to the 10K and a half marathon. So, but I think there's always going to be space for this.
Yeah. When you talk about experience, you talk about, you know, doing something different. So people who are in the sport of triathlon, they love the new challenge, right? They want to do Alcatraz. They want to do Ironman.
Right.
They want a bucket list. This is a bucket list triathlon because it's up at over 9,000 feet, up 2 miles above sea level. What are the challenges, not just for putting on an event like this, but you're talking about a half distance, a quarter distance?
Yeah,
you know, the altitude. I'm assuming the water might be a little chilly.
Yeah,
the challenges for the athletes and for you guys putting it on.
Yeah. You know, that's it. That's what attracted me to it. I would never want to be really associated with just a race for the sake of a race. You know, there's plenty of that, which is fine. But if we're really going to give it our best effort and work on really strong branding and all those things, I want it to be something special that, you know, whether it's a bucket list or they're, you know, something they do every year. You know, we call it proprietary events. Like they you know, the participant, it gives them some pretty serious humble bragging, for whether it's just in their social circles or on social media. We think that, you know, one of the things that obviously makes it most attracting is just call it world's highest. Like that is just unique in itself. And this is a world's highest arena in Dillon, and, you know, there's just very few efforts that you could go any higher than this one. So, you know, the swimming is going to be challenging for sure. I think just, you know, it's already hard enough to swim and catch your breath, and then with, you know, 50% less oxygen or whatever it is up there, it's going to make it more difficult. But our tagline with it is, like, I would be amazed if anyone sets their personal best on this course, and that's not the point. You know, we'd be really upset if people didn't take in the scenery. If you're out on the bike course and you go up to this beautiful town of Montezuma, and you're riding through all of those, you know, the beautiful mountains and the trees up there are just incredible. So you want people to take it in a little bit. There is, of course, a pro purse, so we'll have some guys and gals head down and cranking it out to try to win the $25,000, but, you know, we want the age groupers and everyone to really enjoy it, because it is just it could be a once in a lifetime opportunity, and, you know, it's going to be it'll be hard for our staff. This is a kind of a home field advantage. We don't think it's going to be it'll be difficult for us to put on, just because we know the area so well. A lot of us live up there and things like that. So, and the community is just great. They're all in on this.
So I love the tagline. It won't be pretty, but it'll be beautiful.
Yep, right.
Yeah,
exactly.
That is a classic.
That is a good one. How are you
tapping it in terms of how many people can participate?
Yeah, 2,500 is all we think that the course can handle. So we'll probably get close to that here this first year, which is exciting.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. It's moving pretty quick, and everybody, you know, our whole team has been working on it for so long and so hard, and, you know, it was really exciting. We have our race director is Travis Dre, who, for those in the down in the Arizona network, he was the parks manager for Tempe Town Lake, so he was responsible for bringing in all the big events like Ironman and Rock and Roll Marathon, and so he lived it all for a decade, and now he's working with us on the other side. So he's just doing a fantastic job working with the community, getting everybody on board, and, you know, to put on a great event and a safe event. So it's a really cool crew.
And the website is 106westtry.com. People can still sign up, and 2,500 is what you're looking at. I'm assuming you're looking at a sellout long before that.
Yeah, that's the goal. Yeah, and it'll be around for a long time. So if people miss it this year, it's okay.
And then the official charity, Challenge Athletes Foundation, which we're very excited about. We came out there for the opening press conference with Eric McIlvaney from our Operation Rebound program. Mm-hmm. That seems to be an initiative you guys have really adopted.
Well, obviously, you guys have just run just an amazing foundation, and it's inspirational for everybody who touches it. And you know, we couldn't think of a better group to be associated with. So we're glad you had us.
I love it.
That's pretty neat. Yeah, we're doing that, and also with the Tempe Triathlon too now. So which we're excited to be a part of with you guys.
Very cool. Jeff, thanks so much for taking time. Congratulations on all of this. I'm sure it's going to be great. Were you out at the beer festival?
Which one?
Oh wait, which one? That's right. You must have some.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I get into it.
Now, knowing you've been trying to put this race on for 10 years, is this one where you go, maybe I can jump in here and get a little race in?
I think I am, actually. Yeah, I don't want anyone to know it because I don't want anyone to see my times. But yes. I'm gonna hop in.
You got to 10 years to get this. Come on now.
I know. I'll be there.
I love it.
I'm excited.
Jeff Sofolk has been our guest again. The event is 106 West Try, and that's 106westtry.com. $25,000 prize money, and it won't be pretty. But it'll definitely be beautiful. The highest triathlon in the world, 9,156 feet above sea level. You guys, if you are looking for the challenge, this is definitely it. Again, we are brought to you by Ironman U, by EverySite.com, Run, Catalina.com, Catalina Marathon coming up on Saturday, March 19th. This triathlon, the 106 West Tri, is coming up on September 10th. 2016. We again are brought to you by our Challenge Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $70 million to keep athletes in the game of life through sport. And check us out on iTunes or on BabbittVille.com. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.